All right, today I'm joined by performer and host of the You Booked It podcast, Dane Reese. Dane, thanks for joining me, man. How you doing?
Very good. Thanks for having me, Ashley.
My pleasure. Early morning for you, early morning star. You're all the way. Where in the world are you? You're Australia, but where specifically so people know?
Yeah. I am in Adelaide, South Australia. So good times over here, down under.
It's your summer, future. Right?
Yeah, we're going into it, but I tell you what, I'm struggling still to get used to the way the weather works here, because for the past forever, well, ages, I've been like in tropical places or the desert. So, like for instance, in Vegas, where I was living most recently, it was, you just have weeks or months, really, of it's like 40 plus degrees. You're like, oh, great, it's sunny and no clouds again. Here, it'll be beautiful for and like super hot for a few days, and then it gets super cold and it's like 12 degrees now or something like that. So it's all over the place. So my body doesn't know how to keep up.
It's schizophrenic weather patterns that clearly are going to be
exactly right
for your blood system and your circulation.
Exactly right.
So we I touched on it a little bit and you kind of alluded to Vegas there. And obviously, you know, the first port of call might be to talk a bit about your performance background as then we, you know, maybe get into the podcast a bit later. You, unless I'm mistaken, weren't like, you're not someone who just had that craving to be a performer from a young age, right? You actually were an athlete when you were younger. Is that right? And then you kind of sort of found performance almost by mistake. Have I made that up?
No, that's pretty much spot on. Yeah, I'm like your high school musical / glee story, right? I okay. played sports my whole childhood growing up. And then late into high school, I just got injured. There's a series of concussions that happened pretty back to back in football. And my mom's an ER nurse. And she says, okay, yeah, we're done with football. So we're not doing that anymore. And then I was playing baseball and I found out I would have needed elbow surgery if I continued playing that. So those two things really happened in about 4 months' time. So I went from being super busy all the time, always having some kind of extra something to do after school, to zero, nothing, super bored all the time. And then one of my sister's friends was over and she said, hey, we need a guy to lift some girls in this Christmas show. Do you want to do it? And I said, well, okay, I don't have anything else going on. Let's do it. And I guess to make a really long story short, I really liked it. I started off with hip hop and break dancing because I grew up in Montana, which is, well, at least at the time, was not exactly somewhere guys would dance and sing.
Sure.
And that's totally fine. But then I said, you know what, screw it. I am liking this. Let's figure out how to do this technically and properly, and threw myself in every dance class, got involved with drama in high school, and then they were doing a musical. So I was like, well, I should learn how to sing. So I went and put myself into choir, and then turns out I was good at all of it. And that was a surprise to me, but I knew I liked it. And then I went to university. I was the mascot for the school, won an award where I was ranked the number one mascot in the USA. And then I studied abroad in Vienna, Austria for a semester with some music, and then transferred into the Boston Conservatory, went to New York, and then the professional career happened.
Do you like look back now and can you see any hints or suggestions of when you were a lot younger of that performer being in you and you just didn't maybe consciously know it?
Yeah. My mom tells me, and I have these memories in my head of standing on a stool and singing Randy Travis. He's a country singer. And I'm singing Dig It Up Bones is the song. And I would just sing it to my grandma. She would just hold the phone up and I would just perform on the stool. And then I also have this memory sitting in the kitchen. And we had one CD player in the house, right? And like speakers that you plugged into, it was like a little Discman thing. And then I was listening to a Backstreet Boys album. It was my sister's album. And I said, oh, this is kind of cool. I kind of like this music. It seems like fun. And then I remember Disney Channel had this special where when NSYNC got really big, they had already been huge in Europe and in Asia. And then they came over to the States and tried to make them big there, right? Which obviously worked. But they had this huge Disney special. And I remember watching it go, oh, that kind of looks like fun. I feel like that'd be fun just to dance, perform, and sing songs. And at that time, that's as far as it ever went. You know what I mean? And I remember having these little thoughts. I'm like, oh, it'd be kind of cool to be an entertainer. But that's, it wasn't even on the radar of like, let's do this, let's pursue this.
Yeah, I was like, and back to sports.
I was playing sports.
Yeah.
Exactly right. It was just like this little, that seems like fun. But yeah.
It's interesting because sometimes when I talk to people, you know, actors mainly, there is that discussion around sports and the mindset of sports and some of the parallels that exist with what we do as performers.
Mm.
So I'm kind of keen to pull on that thread a bit because you come from that sporting background. Do you feel like any of the stuff you did there and the kind of discipline that comes from that way of living your life has helped you or fused into what you've done as a performer? Or do you sort of see them as two disparate mindsets and things?
To me, I think they're very, very connected. While I played sports and I was good at sports, and I really enjoy watching sports and playing them, but I've never fanatical about, like, I was never really into the sport like my other friends were and still are, right? I still love and appreciate the sports and playing them and the physicality of it, but it just never really clicked for me. But then I realized, oh, when I started dancing, I was like, oh, like creativity and physicality, okay, now I can get down with this. This is what I'm really attracted to and I want to do. But with the work ethic, for sure, because it's just like with practice, like I played baseball at a really high level and it was like year-round training, you know what I mean? And being super consistent, showing up day in and day out just to do fundamentals and easy things and just refining things all the time. And I think all those kinds of that skill set and that work ethic really translates to this career because it's not something you can't just one day wake up and be an amazing singer. Like you have to, it's all that really incremental progress that happens over time and then it compounds into something that's pretty cool. But I think having that work ethic with sports absolutely set me up for dance, especially since I started so late in performance, I should say in general, because I was 17 and a half, 18 years old when I started. But I hit it so hard and was so focused with it. But I already knew how to be focused. I knew how to be disciplined. So I think that really served me, especially in my like beginning time of learning how to do this and playing catch up with so many of my peers.
And as the beginning time, this always, you know, the most poignant when you look back, but at the time can be the most frustrating because you're kind of trying to understand, like, where's the opportunity? Where's my break? Whatever you want to call it. And you kind of try to figure it all out.
Yeah.
For you, I guess, like, what do you feel, for lack of a term, was your first big, air quotes, break in terms of, you know, career-wise and getting into the industry?
Yeah. Their very first thing, it was a far cry from the biggest thing I've ever done, right? I had just kind of started everything and there was this show called The Harley Show in Missoula. It was a professional production. It was my first professional production. I ended up doing it. It was an annual show they did 3 years. I did it for 3 years. And it was sponsored by the Harley-Davidson motorcycle shop, right? We had a huge one in Missoula. It was a huge, lots of road trips and things in the summer. Lots of people come through for tourism and things like this. But he used it as a massive promo for his shop, for the apparel and things like that of his shop. Selling the motorcycles was easy. He's like, but I think really the profit margin on apparel was huge. So he's like, let's pump this stuff. So, but he made it kind of this, instead of just doing like a fashion show going up and down like a catwalk or something, it was a full-on choreographed production, musical theater style, loads of stuff. And the venues always changed and it was way cool. But I think the first time I did that show was amazing. I was just barely, not even 18, I don't think, because I had just started. But I got into that. I auditioned for it and it worked out. And it was this amazing experience because I've never been around theater people and dance people. And it just blew my mind, like how much fun everyone had showing up for things and how hard you could work and then really love that and enjoy it. It was more exciting to me than sports. And that's, I think, when it really flipped for me. I go, oh, this is, I found my people, you know? And I think that was probably the show that really did it for me.
Like you said, it's for you, I guess, that fusion of creativity with the physicality that's that nice balance of the two worlds. I want to ask a question about auditioning specifically in the world of musical theater, because I have a few friends that have also started in musical theater. I think not too dissimilar to yourself, have worked on cruises and done lots of shows. And from their experience, there's this maybe stigma or not of how it can be pretty cutthroat and pretty brutal, maybe compared to, say, the screen acting side of auditioning, which can be tough, but not maybe as brutal as musical theater. I don't know if you can maybe speak a little bit to that, and then your advice on how to approach those kinds of auditions to people that might be listening.
Yeah, auditioning, you know, it's the necessary evil that we all have to do, right? I am never really a big fan of auditioning, but it's, you know, you have to do it, right? Everyone wants the gig, but you don't get the gig without doing the audition. Sure. Audition is tough. And for a long time, it was kind of like my Achilles heel, right? I got really worked myself up a lot in the beginning and freaked out. You know, it just destroyed like myself. And I was like, well, I didn't have a shot in the world of nailing this because I was too wrapped up in my own mind about what do they want and trying to project what I think that they want, which is don't do that. You know, I think even you found in your podcast, I'm sure, and with in mine, absolutely. That's such a common through line. People are like, you have to just do you. You have to be you because that's all you can control. Everything else is so far out of your hands. And that's something I never really learned in the beginning. Even when I went to the Boston Conservatory, they never really expressed that, hey, you are just one tiny puzzle piece. There are so many parts of this industry that exist and so many parts of a production that you have no control over. So don't even bother with it. You don't know what they're looking for. You don't. Also, most of these casting directors are also casting dozens of other things. So go in there, do you, and you might get a call for something else, you know, that they were working on. So just having an awareness of how the industry works is incredibly important. It's something that I just didn't have. And that's really got me in my own way for a long time. And really, I think the biggest thing with auditioning is you just have to go in there. I always like to see auditions as just time to hang out with my friends in a lot of ways, because when I'm in the auditioning grind, right, if I've been in the city for a while, you start seeing the same faces quite a bit, right? But we're all doing our own things. We're all gigging over this way. We're all doing shows this way. We're always flying off somewhere and like doing a contract and then coming back. So you don't get to see a lot of these people a lot socially, right? Because everyone's on their own little paths, right? But you go to these auditions and this is your time to see each other and catch up. And that's what I really found and really embraced in auditioning. And that's when I found I started booking more auditions, because I showed up, yes, to do my work, but I just viewed it as kind of like this very professional but social event in a way, just in being very supportive of your friends. And that mind switch for me is everything, because I'd go in there, just have a good time. I'd have a great chat, support my friends. We'd sing, we'd dance, we'd act, we'd go in and out of rooms, and we're just there for each other. And that's what really makes it fun. And it makes it a fun day versus trying to get in your head. And sometimes, yeah, you got bad days and you know you just completely tanked it and you get cut straight away. And it happens, right? And it can be a bit disappointing because you know that you could have done better. It's just for whatever reason, the day was off, especially in yourself. You can feel it, you know, versus I nailed it and then I get cut. Sure. Right. That's different. But there's times when you just know you screwed it up and that's fine. But the whole mindset switch with my peers and just going in there and hang out is everything for me. That's how I've handled it mentally and emotionally. So I have a good time.
I think that's a super interesting sort of personal hack of yours to, I guess, take the pressure off a little bit of what that whole experience is, because like you say, it's easy to, I guess, burden yourself with a load of different things and thoughts and put all this weight and, you know, make it this make or break thing. And you know, at the end of the day, it should be fun and we should enjoy it and embrace the fact that we're getting the chance to even do it in the first place. Outside of that, do you have any other little like tips or tricks or things that you use along the way to help you with auditions beyond that big nugget that you gave there that people might find useful?
I would say, I mean, preparation is everything, right? You can really underestimated, I think, pretty easily. You go, oh, I can sing. Oh, I can dance. Oh, I know this role. I've read this before. Just take your time and really focus with things as much as possible. If you're getting sides, if you're lucky enough to get them, you know, a day or two in advance, don't procrastinate and go, okay, the night before look at them. You know, try to spend as much time with things and live with material as long as possible when that's a luxury or a possibility. And I think preparation is key, making sure that you are in a good mental state. And I think this goes even bigger than just being in the moment or being in going to an audition, is really concentrating on developing a good mental health program or a good mindset program, whatever that means for you, whether that's getting manicures or means meditation, whatever that is, figure that out for yourself and do your best to figure that out. Because having your mind right, being in a good mental space, just in your day-to-day life, is so important for showing up and being present in a room.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's something that, you know, I've obviously noticed in my own experience and journey firsthand. And I'm sure you, with your guests, much like many of the people that have come on and spoken with me, that's a big through line as well. It is that thing of technique and craft, of course, are essential, but at some point it becomes about more than just that. It becomes about the mindset. It's, you know, when you're tired and you've had a really bad day or you're not in the mood, craft might not always be there to save you. It's the mindset piece that takes you over the final few yards, I guess, for the touchdown. Sporting analogy alert.
But it's also something with mindset is the actual technical part of doing whatever it is that you're doing, acting or singing or dancing, just to do that. Look, if you're auditioning for something or going in for something, and you know that, look, my skill set is of a caliber that I can legitimately be in this production, the fact that you can do the thing is just the baseline. Mm-hmm. That's just, you're allowed to be in that room, basically. You're not wasting anyone's time. That's the baseline. It's everything else surrounding that, and your mental health and your mindset is one of the biggest parts, I think, that is what allows the casting directors to see you and allow you to give yourself to them.
And the really annoying thing is that I don't think there's a linear one-stop shop way of figuring that out for anybody. It kind of takes time. And to your point earlier, it's a very individual process that it's different for everyone, but it's kind of where we should be focusing our time to figure out what that is for you. And if there was a magic bullet, great, but there's no Pfizer vaccine for mindset.
No, and that's the thing. And I think that's why, well, I think there's a lot of reasons, a lot of stigmas that have surrounded mental health and mindset for a long time. But it's also why I think a lot of schools or training programs just don't even touch it, because it's a bit too personal. They don't want to cross over there, but it's so important. And I think by acknowledging, you're right, there is no cookie cutter solution to that. It's your own thing that you need to develop for yourself, and you need to try a few things. If you can take that lens, then there's no issues helping guide people through that, because all you're trying to do is help refine their journey, and that's totally cool. But I think a lot of education programs like to have their cookie cutter solution. This is how you do this, and it makes sense. And well, you're going to come out and you're going to be, you know, the Dalai Lama, and it's going to be amazing. But that's not how it works, right?
Yeah.
But I think you just have to change your lens about how you approach it and how you teach it, or how you help coach or guide people through that and discovering that. And then there's no issues, and people can then have their organic journey, maybe with a little bit of guidance to figure out what works for them.
I guess that's it, right? That's the key word, guidance, which is very different to just trying to push some idea on top of people and saying that is the uniform way of doing it.
Yeah.
Which, that's a bigger thing for a different podcast around education and all that stuff. But I suppose if we springboard from there, though, like, that was one, if not, you know, the big reason for you starting your podcast around, you booked it, right? Because to your point, you've been to huge some of those prestigious musical theater training schools in the world, and yet I'm getting the vibe that whilst you learned loads of incredible stuff, of course, there were bits that they didn't teach you. And that's kind of the same with the acting on the drama school side. They don't really teach you the business. They give you like a little module, but they don't prepare you at all.
Yeah. No, and the world evolves very quickly, right? I think on the website I have something that says something to the effect of, I spent $200,000 on getting an education, learning how to be a professional entertainer, which that's a whole other conversation, but hindsight 2020, right? Spent all that money, developed this insanely amazing skill set, and I go out into the real world and go, holy shit, I don't know how do I not know how to make this work for me? How do I not know how to make money with my career, with my skill set? That's mind-boggling, but there I was, you know? And the more I talk to people, the more I realize I'm not like this anomaly. It's pretty much everyone that comes out of these training programs has no freaking clue how to actually make their skill set a career.
And they have it's if I'm not wrong, maybe a very dangerous idea of what success should look like. Mm-hmm. I know on the screen and theater acting side, that is very much the easy pitfall. It's success means I'm a famous movie star or a celebrity, and that's like the lottery.
Yep.
Like maybe, but you're not going to be happy if you're chasing that dragon for the whole time of your career.
Exactly right. And I think, and that's something that was never really addressed as well in training programs. And my school in particular, it was very, you know, Broadway or bust. And that's fine and fair enough, right? I went to that school knowing that that's what it really focused on, and that's great. But what I didn't realize was how expansive and how huge the entertainment industry is and how global it is and how much work there is in the world. Mm-hmm. What I really realized is that I didn't necessarily want to be on Broadway. I didn't necessarily want to do films. All I really wanted to do, when it really boiled down to it, was back when I was telling you about the NSYNC thing, when I was watching them, I was like, you know what would be cool? Entertaining, singing and dancing. That sounds like fun. And really, that's what my career has been, is me just choosing, I just want to perform. I just want to, whatever that means I'm happy. And I'm happiest when I'm doing those things. So that's how it worked into my life. That's my journey, not other people's journeys. But yeah, it's.
And having clarity on that's the first key step, though. Like knowing that why, to sound corny about it, is the fundamental springboard to then let you do that with clarity, as opposed to just going wherever the tide may take you because you're not sure.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's something that I always, whenever I'm coaching or talking to anybody, that is the number one thing that I say. If you want to create a successful career in this entertainment industry, the first thing you need to do is ask yourself, what do you want out of your entertainment career? Because how you answer that question will determine where you go in the world. It'll determine the cities you do, the crafts that you really choose to hone in on, the types of work that you even want to accept, right? And different markets offer different combos of work. Some are very contract-based, some are very freelance-based, some have really healthy combos of both of them. So you need to, the more clear you can get on what it is that you want, you can direct yourself, because New York and LA or London are not the end all and be all of this industry.
Especially now, right? In the world we're living in, where it's all Zoom, remote, like it's going to change and go to something different. And we don't know what that is yet, but you don't necessarily have to be living in those markets in the way you used to 5 years ago.
No, no, no. And that's the thing I think just a minute ago, I said this industry changes so fast, right? We've had Skype, we've had Zoom for ages, right? But now we're actually utilizing it in the way that it really can be leveraged. And I'm sure we're still only scratching the surface. I'm sure there's a million other ways that we can expand off of this, and they'll be developed in the coming months and years. But yeah, you have to keep up with technology, and it's hard to stay relevant. You have to keep up, because for instance, when I entered the industry, like the iPhone just came out, you know what I mean? But it cost like $700, which now you're thinking, oh, that's a good price for a phone now, which is really silly.
Yeah.
But the whole idea of having instant access to emails and notifications was not really a thing. It would be okay for you to go to auditions and submit for things and then like just wait around for a phone call or wait around to check your voicemail, right? That was okay. It didn't have to be so fast, but now you miss out on gigs if you answer that email 2 minutes late. It's a crazy industry now.
Yeah, it's so, well, most industries, it's instant access to all this stuff, and it's how often are you updating your profiles? What new stuff are you putting out? You're your own PR machine as well on the side. It's all that stuff to go on top of the craft, which they don't teach. The You Booked It podcast then. Let's touch on that a little bit. Like what was, I mean, I kind of touched on it a little, I think, but what was the deep inspiration behind you getting that going?
Yeah, and it was really that journey of me going to that school, which at the time was ranked the number one school in the country, which is even crazier. And you come out and spend all that money, have this great training, and go, what the hell do I do now? Mm. You know, of course I figured it out, right? But it took me a long time. It took me time and took me years. And those are years that were like prime performance years that I could have been doing other really cool things. And I mean, I'm super grateful for the career that I've had and the trajectory it has. I would not exchange it for anything, even the student loans, because my life is amazing the way it is. But it's that there's no reason, no justification why you should come into the world and be that clueless about this industry. And so I've developed that. And then I always, on every contract, anything I was on, whether it was a freelance gig or a long-term deal, I would always chat with my peers and be like, hey, what's the deal? Like, I always talked about money. I was like, how much are you getting paid? Like, because different agencies sometimes will cast different things and figure out, holy crap, like I'm getting half as much as you. This is crazy. And we're doing the same thing. And people are like, oh, you can't talk about pay. But I think talking about pay is super important because, look, at the end of the day, if you signed your contract and you're there, you agreed that was an okay amount to be paid for. But if you know more about what's happening, know which agencies pay better, things like this, that only helps all of us, right? So being super transparent and sharing, oh, I found this resource, you should check it out. Oh, I saw this show, they're auditioning, you should go do that, you'd be really good for it. And really sharing all of the information that I ever had and really trying to build that rapport with people is something I did to try to figure out how this industry works. So I've always done that throughout my career. And then that kind of segued into me going, okay, let's have this conversation with more than just myself or in another person, but like, let's go into schools and performing arts programs and be like, let's try to give some of this information before these kids need it, right? And then when the pandemic hit, that's when I created the podcast, because it's something that was always in the back of my head, is something I wanted to do, but I was really very fortunate and very grateful that I had a busy schedule. And honestly, I didn't have the time at the moment to put into developing and creating a podcast. But then all of a sudden I got nothing going on. My entire year gets canceled. So then like, well, this is a brilliant time for me now to take this idea and just expand on all of this content and really make it bigger than I could just do alone with talking to people. And let's talk to as many entertainers from all over the world, different parts of the industry, so we can really get this 360-degree understanding of this industry and how to make it actually work for you as a career from the beginning to the middle, the meat of it. How do you really stay motivated to, are you going to transition to something else? If you're a dancer, look, you're not going to be able to dance on stage your entire life. You're going to eventually have to shift gears, right? So how do you do that successfully without, you know, maybe selling insurance or something? Maybe that's maybe that you want to do that, but maybe you still want to be in the arts. You want to do something attached to the industry. How do you transition and do that successfully? Let's have those conversations with people that have done it successfully. And maybe shed some light on how to make this career something that's long-term and successful and sustainable.
And there's kind of something for everyone, because you have conversations with a whole wide range of people from different parts of the industry, in front of the camera, behind the camera, on stage, off stage. So you're kind of giving, like you said, this 360 view of all the different moving parts, but also people at very different stages of their career. So, you know, someone starting out can pick in and listen to certain stuff, and someone a bit more further on can also get that value from other people based on just their insights. And I mean, you've been smashing it. Like, you've been doing, at least for a while, you were doing like one a day every, like, weekly, weren't you?
Yeah, for just in the last 2 weeks, I've slowed down my posting schedule. But yeah, I was doing 7 days a week for the last handful of months. So
with a kid as well. Like, that's impressive.
Yeah, it's been full on. But it's been good, and it's been really exciting to get that content out. And now it's about focusing on a few other things that are still related to the podcast, but expanding and just trying to get more word out. But really, it all takes time, right? It all takes time and resource, and so I need to free up the time somehow. And posting a few less every week gives me that time.
Absolutely. Do you have any like key things that any guests have come on that have really stuck with you? Anything that you feel really resonates or reflects what you believe the theme of the podcast is?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest fundamentals that come through is, we talked about a bit when you go into auditions, is the idea that you just need to be yourself. You need to let go of any preconceived notions and ideas of what you might think a thing is. And I know when we chatted on your podcast, and then also, or you were on my show, and then I listened to another of your episodes yesterday, and the idea that you can go into a room and be like, oh, I don't want it. You're like, no, that's bullshit. Like, of course you want to get the gig, right? And to not feel, to be completely emotionally numb to that is a bit of a big ask and a bit silly, I think, because we have to be emotionally invested in something to get the role, right? You have to give yourself emotionally. But to find peace with that and to be like, you know what, I did that, and then move on. And finding that solution for you is really, really important, not only for going into the next audition or submission or whatever it is that you're doing, but also for your mental health. And I think that is probably one of the biggest takeaways, is that every single person that's really having a really thriving career in this industry that I've interviewed has really taken a very conscious, purposeful approach to their mindset and their mental health, and they're aware of it. And everyone admits, look, I'm human. You know, you got good days, you got bad days. But the fact that you can acknowledge it and you know that it's important is huge. And that's something that is a massive through line. And I think it's probably the biggest overarching through line that really contributes to having a successful career.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I don't know the nature or nurture argument to how you get to that point, but I think that trying to empower yourself as much as possible is, if there is any kind of silver bullet, maybe the one silver bullet that's available. And that's having something outside of what you're doing with the work that you can be passionate about, whether that's another hobby or another side hustle or family, whatever it might be, but something that you're not just running the circuit desperately trying to cling on to the next job or the next audition.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be arts related, right? It can be whatever it is that drives you. It could be if you love cooking, if you love chess. I've gotten really into chess recently. I played a lot of chess when I was.
Have you watched Queen's Gambit? Yeah. Is that why?
I did, and that's what like re-stimulated. I was like, man, I'm like, I really do like chess.
It's
like
nuts.
Did you see in seventh grade?
Go on. I'll say it after. It's laggy.
When I was in seventh grade, we had the whole semester, all we did was play chess, and every class was chess oriented something. And I got quite good, and I really enjoyed it. But then I never played it. Life got ahead of me, and then I never really went to it. And I watched the show. I was like, oh, chess. That's fun. So it's been fun to get back into it. I'm terrible again, but that's okay. We'll get there. But having something, you know, that you can put some energy into, that you can love and go back to, because yeah, this industry will beat you up emotionally if that's all you put it into. You have to have some kind of something to be creative or to put some energy into for sure.
Absolutely. I was just saying that the thing about Queen's Gambit, it's crazy because it's that Netflix phenomenon. They showed that the search trends globally for chess and like chess boards just like spiked.
It's blown up.
When it was released, like people buying chess boards, all of a sudden it's like the new cool kind of thing to do. And the impact of Netflix globally on like purchaser behavior and search trends.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's insane.
It's wild. Yeah. I got like a, because I'm like on chess.com, right? So I got an
email. That's true. They said that too. They said chess.com subscriptions have gone up.
Exploded. I'm sure of it. Yeah, look, if you're a beginner, really, you don't have to spend any money. There's enough free resources out there. But they had an email that said, I can't remember the girl's name in the show, but they're like, play her. It was like, that's so silly because all they're doing is doing different ranks, just like every other thing. They just set up like a ranking level with the AI, but people feel like they're playing this person, and then it's and then it you know, gets them
gets more subscribers.
So it works for them. So yeah, whatever works, man. It's cool.
All the marketing ploys
to see how everything's gone.
Absolutely. Why not?
Hey, that's what it's about.
Cool. All right, man. I like to wrap these up with 10 little quick fire questions that I've, like all good artists, stolen straight from Inside the Actor's Studio. Did you watch Inside the Actor's Studio back in the day when it was on?
I used to watch a little bit of it, but it was, like I said, it was not something, I was not really part of this world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I watched a bit of it, but it wasn't, and I've watched a few like things on YouTube and stuff like recordings, yeah. But no, it was never really, wasn't part of my world then.
Gotcha. Well, at the end of the show, the host, James Lipton, would ask these 10 questions, which he stole from some French interviewer. So I'm stealing it from him just to keep the cycle going. So,
hey, if questions are good, they're good.
There you go. So the first question is, what is your favorite word?
Oh, gosh. Probably awesome. I say awesome a lot. And being in Australia, people pointed out to me, they're like, nothing's awesome.
What's your least favorite word? Is it an awesome Aussie thing that they use that you don't like, maybe?
No. I like all the Aussie words. Just. I don't like to use just. And it's hard to strike that from your vocabulary, but I don't like to use just.
Gotcha.
It's very non-committal.
What turns you on in a creative or intellectual kind of way?
Anything that makes me feel like I'm progressing. If I feel like I'm moving forward, I am happiest doing the work. I love working hard on things that make me feel like I'm progressing. And if I feel like that, if I feel growth, I'm in my happy place all the time.
On the flip side, what turns you off?
Being stagnant. It's the worst for me to have, if I don't have something to do, if I'm just sitting around, it's really bad for me.
Hence the podcast, I guess, in some ways, right? Like,
yeah, they're like, yeah, in some ways, yeah, there's no way I could have just sat and like done nothing. It's not the way my mind works, not the way my body works. I have to be creating and building, and I love that. I love creativity, and sometimes creativity comes out in artistic forms like that, or I guess it's all artistic in a way, but whether it's design or marketing or some kind of this, or websites, digital stuff, email marketing campaigns, things like this, copywriting, I love all that kind of stuff as well. So yeah, I guess that is all creative. It's just not performance, traditional.
Yeah, it's not implicit performing arts, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. But that kind of stuff, all day long, I can get lost in that stuff.
Gotcha. Next question's optional, so if you want to pass, that's cool. But it's, what's your favorite swear word?
Fuck, for sure. It's so good.
Multi-usable.
It works for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there was way back in the day when you only would torrent or like use like Napster, LimeWire, or whatever to download music, and there was like that robot voice of the guy talking about fuck. He was like, and he would give all the different ways that you could use fuck. It's like, but it was like the computer voice talking.
Oh, I don't remember that. I'm going to have to hunt this down. I'm Googling this later.
Yeah, it's so silly, but I remember discovering that as a child and be like, yes, this is my favorite.
This is why the internet exists. Amazing.
So good.
This is a good segue because the next question is, what is your favorite sound or noise? And it might be that clip.
My favorite sound or noise. You know what? I love huge arena audience, like that huge, like at a sporting event, and all that energy. And it's more than just the noise. It's all the energy that comes with that. I love that.
What's your least favorite sound or noise?
People chewing with their mouth open.
That comes up a lot.
It's pretty rough.
That's a common answer to that question. Yeah, it's a few times people have said that one. I get it. What job or profession other than your own or the ones you've already attempted would you most like to try?
I always thought, so when before I went into performing, I thought I was going to be a doctor. That was my thing. I either wanted to be an ER doctor because I thought it'd be cool just to be somewhere where anything pops into the room and you're like, well, let's deal with this now, which would be fun. And I also thought it would be really interesting to be an obstetrician and deliver babies. But yeah, I think I'd go more ER doc though.
Huh. No one's ever said that. Usually that's their answer to the next question of what job would you never want to do under any circumstance? And you get surgeon and doctors quite often. For you, what would that be? What would you never want to do career-wise?
Work in a meatpacking plant.
You've given these some thought. These are really specific.
I haven't given I would never want to do that.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Final question. It's a little bit more of an ethereal one, but it's when it's all said and done, what would you like the story of your life to be? What kind of legacy do you want to leave?
Yeah, that's a big question. That I was able to be an inspiration to a whole generation of people coming into this industry, into the entertainment industry, I should say, and helped people really create truly sustainable careers for their entire life and things that made them feel empowered, made them feel artistically fulfilled, and to do that on a large scale and to really impact a lot of people one-on-one as much as possible or however that might develop with new technologies and things like this, but to be a really like a leader in that space of really educating this new generation of entertainers going into the world.
I love that. I love the key word. I think sustainable there is such a big one to like circle in red and underscore because that's the thing.
Yeah. It's one thing to book your first contract. It's a whole other thing entirely to book a career's worth of contracts. And it takes a lot more than just singing, acting, and dancing or whatever your skill might be to do that. Mm. And that's what no one talks about.
Like you said,
I want to share.
That's the baseline, right?
Yep. Sing great. I'm glad you can sing. Of course you can sing. So can these 4,000 people outside this room. So it's everything else that makes the career. And teaching that is in sharing that and coaching that with people is what I'm about.
Awesome. Well, look, man, it's been a blast chatting to you. I guess final few moments are really over to you. The floor is yours just to let people know where they can find out more about you on the socials, if they want to connect and explore more about the coaching and how you can maybe help them. And then, you know, if you want to button it off with a final closing remark, by all means do, and let people know what you think the main takeaway is here.
Yeah, for sure. So first off, thanks for having me on the show, Ashley. And thank you everyone for sticking around and listening. And if you want to check out the podcast, do that. It's called You Booked It. It's on literally every single podcast platform. So just search You Booked It. If you want to connect with me, go to Instagram. That's the easiest, most direct. It's at You Booked It Podcast. Send me a DM, get in touch, ask me questions. I'm super responsive there. And if you are interested in learning how to take your career to the next level, figuring out how to actually create a sustainable career, I do coachings as well. So you can pop over to youbookeditpodcast.com/coaching and you can set up a call. We can have a chat and see if we're a good fit, if that's something that you want to do. And the main takeaway, I would say if you are an aspiring entertainer, or even if you are in the meat of your industry, have another reassess and reevaluation of things and really sit down and ask yourself, what is it that you want out of your entertainment career? And try to get as clear on that as possible. Don't try to answer it in one day. Sit on it, live with it, and see what happens. See if that changes the trajectory for a more fulfilling way to have your career go.
Awesome. Dane, it's been an absolute blast. Thank you so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.